Chazara, which means the halachas of exactly what a person needs to do in order to leave food on a stovetop or in other types of cooking devices, a crock pot or whatever it may be. What are the necessary conditions in order to be able to leave food there? And what would be necessary if a person wants to actually take food off that he's left there, and after using some of it, put the rest back onto the fire, or onto the source of heat? When is that permissible, under what circumstances? So to begin with, just a bit of background. There's a machlokas in Masechta Shabbos. There's a machlokas in Masechta Shabbos between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether a person is mitzuva on shvisas kelim, meaning we all know that when Shabbos a yid can't do malacha, you know, begufo, a yid can't do malacha himself. Also, a yid, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to cause your animal to do malacha. If you own an animal, whatever kind of animal it may be, one is mitzuva al shvisas behemto. These are mafurish psukim, right? Ata vavtcha mascha behemtcha. More pasuk says sharcha v'chamarcha. It says mafurish in the Torah that a person is obligated to see to it that their shvisas behema. Now that doesn't mean that your behema can't do malach. If your animal wants to graze, your cow wants to munch grass on Shabbos, even though he's pulling grass out of the ground, which is a malach deraisa of mikidulo, it's mutter. The animal's allowed to do that for his own personal needs, but you can't cause an animal. You can't cause your animal to do malacha. Like you couldn't harness your animal up to a plow and have it plow on Shabbos, even if you personally didn't do any malacha. And, or for that matter, you can't allow your animal to carry something on Shabbos for your tzorech. So, just parenthetically, if a person has a dog, assuming you live in a place where there's no Erev, because if there's an Erev, then walking, carrying outside is not a malacha. But if you live in a place where there's no Erev, you're not allowed to even have an ID tag around your dog's neck, because that's considered that he's carrying, for your tzorech. It's not anything that inherently is mahana the animal. It's for your tzorech, basically, said if the dog gets lost, you should be able to identify it and get it back. So it's considered that the dog is carrying. You could not take your dog for a walk on Shabbos in a place where there's no Erev if he has an ID tag around his neck or anything else that he might be carrying for your tzorech. And that's not only true if under your control, you can't even let a guy do malacha with your behemoth. So like the Gemara says, if you loan an animal, let's say you have a chamor, you have a donkey that does plowing, you can harness it up to a plow and plows the field, and you loan it to a guy during the week, you have to make sure to get it back from him before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to allow a guy to force your animal to work on Shabbos, because it's your animal, Kozman, you own it. Shvisa's behemoth, it's your behemoth. And even though you're not the one doing it, and even if the guy promises you that he won't, you know, he'll give the animal off for Shabbos and says you're not allowed to trust him, because you know, once he borrowed the animal, he'll figure like it's not the owner's business. But I'm not doing anything, that the animal's not suited for. This is what I borrowed it for plow. So you're not allowed to trust him. Ad kedei kach that if the guy refuses to return your animal before Shabbos, you're mechuyev to be mafker it in front of three people. To mafker the animal so that you no longer own it, so that if the guy used it on Shabbos, you're not over in Issa. This is the first halachas in the beginning of the third chelik of Mishnah Berurah, Halacha Shabbos. Okay, but that's your animal. But your kalim is not necessarily the same thing. Meaning, can I set up my kalim that they are doing malacha on Shabbos? That I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. I set it up before Shabbos. So that they do malach Shabbos. Is that mutter? Is that aser? Is there a chiyuv of shvisas kelim or not? So the machlok is Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds there is, that a person is a chiyuv, and he learns it from the pasuk of ubechol asher. Larabo shvisas kelim. That even your kelim can't be forced, so to speak, to do malach on Shabbos. That's Beis Shammai holds. And Beis Hillel holds not. Beis Hillel holds there's no iser shisas kelim. There's no such halacha. Your kelim can do malacha as long as you're not personally involved. Or the mashal, you loan a kelim. You loan a kelim to a guy. You want to loan your lawnmower to a guy before Shabbos, and he uses it on Shabbos. There's no iser. You don't have to worry that he's using it on Shabbos. There is a certain shayla, a certain kalim. If you loan a guy, there is a shayla of maris ayin. You know, people. Let's say your car. And you may have a distinctive looking car, and the people recognize and they see it driving down the streets on Shabbos. So, well, I lent it to a guy before Shabbos. He's driving my car. You know, that's shal maris hayin. And there's certain halachas of not renting out things for that reason. But it's not be'etzim because the guy is using the keli. Be'etzim, he's allowed to use the keli, or you're allowed to allow him to use the keli, because we hold there's no din of shis keli. So according to that, this should be technically no problem if I want to put up food to cook before Shabbos on the stove or in an oven or anywhere, regardless of what point the food is at, regardless of, you know, what point of cooking is, it's completely raw, it's half cooked, it should make no difference. I should be able to put it up on Shabbos, before Shabbos, and let it cook. Just like we turn on lights before Shabbos, right? We turn on lights and then continues throughout Shabbos, you know, working. We set other things to work, and it's mutter to do. So theoretically, I should be allowed to do that with my Kedera as well. And really, the Gemara says, even for Beis Shammai, it really should be mutter, because even though Beis Shammai holds of Shvisas Kalim, but the Gemara asks, well, so according to Beis Shammai, how do you light Shabbos candles? You light Shabbos candles, you're, you know, there's malacha going on, you set up the cup of oil to burn on Shabbos. So why isn't that Shvisas Kalim? Or the Gemara talks about making beer. Apparently, to make beer, at least in those days, it was at least an 8-day process. They had to let the hops and whatever else, the various ingredients, the beer soak and for 8 days. So there's malacha going on there in the beer keg over Shabbos, for sure. The Gemara says, yeah. So how's the mutter going to be Shabbos? So the Gemara says that certain things which were essential to life, Chazal were mafkirit, or automatically. It's automatically hefker. And everybody's beer keg was hefker, according to the Beis Shammai world, or everybody's kedera, or everybody's ner was automatically hefker before Shabbos, so that you don't own it. It's not your kelim anymore. So really, even according to Beis Shammai, theoretically, it should be mutter to have, you know, food cooking on Shabbos. However, the Rabbanan made a gzeira that a person can't just randomly leave food cooking over Shabbos. Why not? Because of a gzeira shema on an open flame or an uncovered coals. Gzeira shema yechate begecholim. Shema yechate begecholim means that Chazal were afraid that a person who wants the food for Friday night meal may forget and go on Shabbos, stoke the coals. Be mechate means to stoke the coals, so that they should burn better, because we're talking about the ancient types of stoves, which they used coals, and you would light the coals before Shabbos, and then what would happen would be the flames would go out, and the coals themselves would remain burning, similar to a barbecue, to a charcoal barbecue. They would remain burning, and with the course of time, they would begin to diminish, the heat would diminish, and they would start going out, etc. And so during the week, so what you do is you stoke the coals. You would add some lighter fluid or whatever you would do to get it to burn better. But on Shabbos, that's an issur d'oraisa, not of bishul necessarily, but certainly of havara. One of the 39 malachas is lo sevaru eish b'chol mashvaseichem b'yom haShabbos. It's a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. It's one of the 39 malachas, havara. If you stoke a coal and get it to burn better, that's havara. That's a malacha d'oraisa of havara. Now, if the food's not fully cooked, it's also bishul, because if you're enhancing the cooking, you also have a bishul. But forget about that. Even the food is totally cooked and you're just leaving it hot, just wanted to stay hot, so there's no bishul anymore, but there's definitely havara. When you stoke the coals, you're over havara. You're overkindling. So Chazal were afraid that might happen, because a person might be concerned that the coals are not going to last well enough to finish cooking the food, which he left not fully cooked. He left at a point where it's not fully cooked, and he might forget himself, and out of concern that it be ready for Shabbos, he might become a little bit bohul, a little bit confused and anxious, and forget that it's Shabbos and go stoke the coals. So in order to avoid that, chash of being mechal Shabbos d'oraisa through chitu gecholim, Chazal said that you either the food has to be at a certain stage of cooking where we're no longer concerned that that will happen. In other words, it's far enough along the way in the process of cooking that a person will be, he won't be so anxious about it. He won't be so nervous because he'll say, look, my stomach at this point is going to get done. And even if the worst comes to worst, it's not so bad the way it was. So they required either that the food be at a certain stage, in which we'll get to what that stage was, or what a person would have to do is a process of what's called either being goref or kotem, the gechalim. Goref means to actually shovel out those coals. Shovel the coals out, or according to some Rishonim, it doesn't mean entirely out, but it means off to the side, so that the food is not cooking on the coals altogether, and according to some, it means the coals aren't even there anymore, but you're left behind with the heat. There's residual heat inside the the cooking device, or on the cooking device, there's residual heat which will continue to cook the food or at least keep it hot. That's what a goref means, to be goref does. Or the other, if you need more of this, explain room here. The other option is kotem, but being kotem, of kotem means to cover the coals, means to spread out ash over the coals before Shabbos, obviously, which will automatically diminish them. And once you do that, once you go to the trouble, you do an act of diminishing the flame, so then we're not afraid that you're going to, on Shabbos, forget yourself and come to do just the opposite and try to reverse what you did before Shabbos and be mechata the coals and get them to burn more. Because once the person himself, he went ahead with yadayim and was kotem, so the... First of all, the fact that he may see the ash still, if he goes over there on Shabbos and thinks of doing something, he'll see the ash and that'll remind him that I can't touch this on Shabbos, it's Shabbos and I can't touch this. Or just the fact that he himself did a maisa of ketima, of lowering the coals, is going to prevent him from now reversing that on Shabbos. So this is what Chazal required, that if the food has not reached a certain required stage of cooking, then you have to do either bigoref or goref the kachalim or kote. Now before we get to discuss so much that stage of cooking, one might ask, and in fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein in an old tshuva from the 50s, in the Igros Moshe, first chelik of Aruch Chaim, Simen Tzadi Gimel, he raises the question of whether this takana would apply to the more modern forms of cooking. He's talking about a gas stovetop, gas range, which was what was used in those days. This is the days certainly before crockpots, but even before they had really electric stoves and ovens and stuff like that. Certainly not the glass top they have now, just conventional, which some people still have, a gas range, where in order to, what you do to cook is you turn the knob and the gas comes out and ignites because you have a pilot light or whatever, or you have whatever, ignites, and typically it remains however you adjust it, it's going to stay that way under all normal circumstances. It's not going to diminish with time unless there's some sort of interruption in the gas service or a big wind comes and blows it out or something like that, but under normal circumstances it's going to stay exactly the way you can stay for hours the way you set it up. And so it's not going to lessen, and it's also there's no concern that it's not going to finish cooking the food, because you could set it exactly, adjust it the way you want, and and like I said, it'll stay that way. So there's no real direct concern of being mechata begechalim anymore. You'll say, well, okay, but maybe what you do is maybe you'll see that you didn't quite set it on a high enough flame. You go and look at the food, and you figure it's about 20 minutes before you want to serve the whatever it is, the meat, the stew that you put up for Friday night, and you see it's not really quite done yet. So maybe you'll be tempted, you'll forget it Shabbos, and you'll be tempted to turn the dial and increase the gas flow, which in turn it raises the fire. So Rav Moshe says, l'chara, that wasn't the gzera. The gzera, that would be doma to a person putting more coal, bringing more coals, or bringing more logs to his stove in the time of Chazal to burn better. And there was, that wasn't the gzera. So he clears it sound to say that nowadays it shouldn't apply. But l'maisa, he's not makel l'maisa. And many other poskim say as well that even with a regular the stovetop the way they had it 50 years ago, and even the way we have it now, if a person is wants to leave a pot of food on a stovetop, where again the food is not cooked enough to be yotze what Chazal required, they would have to do something which would be equivalent to grufa or ktuma. So grufa, I said, means to get rid of the coal. So that's really not shy. I mean, if you turn off the flame, of course, turn off the flame, then you have no shayla. We turn off the flame before Shabbos, but we're talking about you want to leave the flame on. So what is shayach is ketuma. Ketuma means covering it, and but not covering with ash, but covering it with what the recommendation was in Rav Moshe Tshuva and many poskim. Not obviously not the only one, but this is a classic. Paste set or tshuva, that's what I mentioned, is to cover it with what we call a blech, a sheet of metal, which will completely cover the flame, whatever flame is on. If you left on one flame on your gas range, then just you cover the one. If you left on two or three or four, cover everything. Typically, the old style blechs anyway would cover the entire stovetop, all four burners. And then, even though if you were to adjust the flame nowadays, if you are tempted to, or if you forgot yourself, if you got that at Shabbos and you were about to, out of your anxiety or concern, you were about to adjust the flame, you wouldn't touch the flame itself. You would turn the dial, which turn the knob, which increases the output of gas. So nowadays you would push a button or touch something on the control panel. So one might say, well, really cover the logical thing should be to cover the controls, because that's what will stop you from being in modern terms from being mechata. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that in a chanami, it's a maila to do that. It's a maila. It's better to cover the he calls the kaftorim as well, but it's not ma'akev. It's not absolutely required, because the Gezeres Chazal was to cover the source of heat, to cover the flame. So he says that's what you have to do. So Rav Moshe writes in the Shulchan again, Lechatchili says you should have a blech which covers everything, covers the flames and the knobs, and that's how the old blechs did, because the knobs were on the front of the stove, underneath where the gas, the stovetop. And so you get the blech would be a sheet of metal which covered the whole thing and then curved down and covered the controls. That was a very standard blech going back.
It is in Latin America, we use gas.
Still some people use it, right?
But the
blech is aloha or there's a chimra? Well, if you learn that tshuva, you might say it's taras chumra, but lamaisa, it's accepted. Come out across the board, all poskim say that in a case where we'll see soon cases that you don't need it, but where the tavshel is at a point that Chazal said you have to do grufa kutuma, so nowadays you'd have to do a blech or the equivalent. Now it doesn't necessarily have to be a sheet of thick metal. Poskim say it could be you can cover it with aluminum foil. You can cover, let's say you have, especially if you have if you have an electric stovetop, you can cover aluminum foil. So here there's a machlokas, is it sufficient just simply one sheet of aluminum foil, or do you need either heavy duty aluminum foil or multiple sheets? Why? Because one of the aspects that's mentioned of the idea of being kotem, of covering the coals, was twofold. One was as a hecker, as a reminder that you won't come now to stoke it on Shabbos, like I explained, but also the idea was that you're being maktin the ash, you're being memait the chom, you're reducing the heat of the cooking source. So there are those that argue that if you take one sheet of plain regular thickness aluminum foil, it's not going to do that. It's not going to lower the heat, reduce the heat in any measurable way or in any significant manner. So there are poskim that say that if you're using aluminum foil, it should be multiple sheets, three sheets of aluminum foil, or at least heavy duty aluminum foil. Rabbi Yashiv held this way, and some other poskim. But there are many that are makel that, because especially there are those that tie that covering completely covering the fire, the source of fire, with a sheet of foil, with a blech or a sheet of foil, is really even better than ketim. In the time of Chazal, when the ketim was to sprinkle it with ash, you aren't putting it out, right? And you aren't obviously not covering completely, because then it would go out. It would sprinkle ash over it, and it would partially cover it over the coals. And in fact, the Gemara says sometimes what happened was with over the course of time, the coals and the fire would totally burn up the ash, so that there was no ash left. You couldn't even tell that it was even done, and that's good enough. The Gemara says, as long as you did it before Shabbos, even if it gets completely, you know, burnt up, that there's no remnants of the ash left, it's still kasha.
Because they did a maisa, that's why.
Sorry?
Because once they did a maisa.
Right, you did the original maisa, and that's sufficient, correct. But when you use a blech, or even if you use aluminum foil, it's much better. It covers the entire thing, and it sits there as a hecker. You're going to see it when any time you might come to be, you know, to tamper with the fire, you'll see it right there. So lemaisa, many hold that even one sheet of aluminum foil would be sufficient. But it's accepted that needs to be done when the tavshil is not sufficiently cooked. It that needs to be done in order to be matter. So we do. So in cases where Gruf or Ketumah is required, if a person is using a crock pot, he needs to as well. He needs to line the inside of the crock pot. It's a conventional crock pot.
No, when you put like a crock pot has a
okay, so then for sure.
You
for
have to put a cellophane paper in between.
You do, yes. That's right, you do. In a few minutes we'll speak out, not every case requires Gerufa Ketumah. Sometimes, but if your tavshil is holding at a point where it requires Gerufa Ketumah, if you're using a crock pot, so if you're using the type that you just described, where it's a one piece, which is like a hot plate, and then the pot just goes on top, then that's very much doma to any electric heating stovetop, that you definitely do have to cover it. But even if you're using the other type, the more conventional crock pots, which has a, you know, a metal base, like an oval metal base, and the pot, the crock pot, the pot made out of cheres, goes inside it, right? And it's covered. So you have to line the entire inside of that metal device.
The entire inside.
Yes.
You can't leave any open.
Right. Space. No, it's supposed to be. It takes a few sheets of foil, not to double up in one place, but just to get the whole thing. It has to be lined fully on the inside. And then you put the pot in there and you push it down and it does, it's fine.
This is all only if it's not cooked enough.
Well, we're about to say in what case.
A regular chunt, it's ready cooked, you don't have to do
well,
it.
Yeah, we'll speak that in a minute. We'll speak when yes, when not. And we'll speak that in a minute. But so far I'm just saying when you need, where Chazal said you need Gerufa Ketumah, so whether it's a gas stovetop, an electric stovetop, or a crock pot, or any of those things, it would be necessary. Where it's not necessary, according to many poskim, is a hot plate. If you're using a, what we call a plata, or Hebrew is what's called a plata chashmalit, or a hot plate. If you're using a hot plate, which is really not designed for cooking altogether, it's really meant essentially for just reheating or keeping foods hot, rather than cooking food. So there, many poskim say that at least for what we're describing now, which is called shehia. For shehia, shehia means just leaving the food on from before Shabbos. Then many say you do not need to cover it at all. It's automatically considered Gerufa Ketumah without any additional substances put on it. This is the Psakas of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Reb Moshe and others. I will mention that the Chazon Ish held not like this. The Chazon Ish held that even on a plata, you know, a hot plate, needs to be Gerufa Ketumah, needs some covering. This is what the Chazon Ish quoted from the Sefer Dinim V'Hanhagos of the Chazon Ish and the Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu. Just 1 second. And Rabbi Yashiv Paskin to say as well, because the reason why is if you're using it as a, you're using it as a, the answer why is they look at it that it's considered like any other kira is the lashon chazal for a stovetop, or at least b'toras lo plug, at least because that we don't find the chazal machalik between one type of device and another. You could cook on these things.
What's the stoke in the coals though?
True, good point, and that is. I mean, assuming it's not adjustable. So what you're saying, that's exactly why many are mekel, or that's one of the main reasons why Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you don't need for shehiyah, you don't need to cover it at all. This is found in the Shemir Shabbos Kilchas, his Shita. And others say as well that it's automatically considered Grufa Ketuma. But Rav Yashiv says, Lo Plug, Lo Chilku Chachamim, between where it's technically able to do the Grufa or not. Just like, it's really just you might argue it's just an extension of what Rav Moshe said by a regular stovetop. There's also no Yechat Bikachalim, right? You know, nobody's Machat Bikachalim. Yeah, okay, you could adjust the flame. So that's already, but that's already, Rav Moshe himself says it's already an extension, because that wasn't the way Chazal would go there. But okay, that's an extension which Rav Moshe accepts and which many posts can do. This is perhaps a further extension, but it's what Yashua says, Lo Plug Chachamim, between one type.
The crock pot, you also move from temperature.
You could. Crock pot, yeah.
You crock, can move it, but...
A crock pot, Ramosh agrees, you need to cover. I'm just talking about a hot plate. A crock pot is meant for cooking.
But you're saying that the hot plate, you need to cover it in all the cases, because you wouldn't be able to switch the temperature.
Even if you can't switch the temperatures, There are machmirim, we'll just put on that list the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yashiv, machmirim that it needs to be covered, even Shehiyah. Okay, but many are making on that. And mentioned on the other side, Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, amongst others, are makel that if you're just doing Shehiyah, you do not need to cover the crock pot, the hot plate. You do not need to cover the hot plate with any foil or anything else. Okay, so now let's address what we've been avoiding the whole time, or haven't spoken yet. What type of chalent, let's say, needs to be on a covered flame or a covered crock pot? In other words, at what point in the cooking will this be required? So this is a machlokas in the Mishnah. Machlokas in the Mishnah in the first parak of Shabbos and the third parak of Shabbos. It's really, I mean, anyone who wants to learn the sugya will start most likely with Perikira, which is the third parak of Shabbos, right away the first Mishnah. In that Mishnah, there's a shita expressed, and there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, though, whether the Mishnah is actually talking about Shehiyah, which is our topic so far, or is the Mishnah only talking about Chazara? There's a whole sugya there. But however it is, the bottom line is that by Shehiyah, there's at least when you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph, it's Machlokes, Shitas in Shulchan Aruch, based on a Machlokes of two deis in Tanaim. The first sheet in Shulchan Aruch says that you always need to cover the flame, the Eish. Excuse me. You always need to cover it, unless the chalent or whatever the tafshil is mevushel kol tzarko, completely cooked and ready to serve, and even mitstamek v'ralo. Mitstamek v'ralo means it's already at a point where the fire isn't even making it more tasty. It's not even getting better by staying on the fire. The only reason you're leaving on the fire is because you want it to stay hot. Right? You don't want to have cold food. So it's worth it for you, the fact that it's... Mitstamik means that it's like shriveling up, right? Mitstamik, it's shriveling or getting drying out a little. Viralo, and it's bad for it. And meaning it would be more geschmack if you ate it the way it is now, if it wouldn't change. But as I said, but you're not ready to eat it. So since you're not ready to eat it, so you leave it on the fire, you figure it's worth it, the little bit of whatever I'll lose, but I'll gain in the fact that I'll have hot food if I take it off now. So it's perfect to eat now, but I'm not ready to eat it. I'm not ready to eat another for another half hour, an hour, and it's going to be cold by then. So I'll leave it on. So there, the person is certainly not motivated to stoke the coals, because the more he all he wants is like the bare, he just wants a little bit of heat. He, you know, like in today's terms, keep warm or low. In those terms of Chazal, he wants coals which are taka very, not burning very brightly, not burning very strongly. He wants coals that are at the end of their life, which is just enough to keep it hot, but not to overcook it more than necessary. So he doesn't want to stoke those coals. By stoking those coals, he's just going to make it cook even more, and that's not what he wants. So the first sheet, which is based on the Mishnayis, which is the first sheet of Shulchan Aruch, says that's the only time it's mutter. But if it's at any stage before that, meaning to say, even if it's fully cooked means I would serve it now, I wouldn't hesitate to serve it now, but it's mitzamik v'yafilo, it's at a point where it's still getting more geschmack by staying on the fire, it's getting tastier, then it's still usher unless you cover the flame. And certainly if it's not fully cooked, certainly if it's at any point before fully cooked means, we discussed this when we did Bishul, means I'm ready to serve it. I would serve it to a guest now without you know, without hesitating. That's what fully cooked is. And a chont could be at that stage Friday night where you wouldn't hesitate to serve it. Meaning you cooked it before Shabbos. Many people cook it on the stovetop before Shabbos, or they cook it in the crock pot on high for many hours, and then they turn it down to low before Shabbos, and they would serve it Friday. They're ready to serve it Friday night. But by Shabbos morning, it'll be more geshmak. It's not drying out already. It's not getting worse to the point where you'd prefer it be off the flame. No, it's still benefiting from the fire. So that's called mistamik v'yafalo. According to the first sheet in Shulchan Aruch, at that point you still need a blech, or you still need this, you know, the covering of the flame. That's the first sheet. The second sheet is much more mekel. The second sheet, which the Mechaber brings down, says that no. As long as it reached Michael ben Drusai. Michael ben Drusai, we defined when we learned Bishul, and we'll define it again. Michael ben Drusai, according to the way the Shulchan Aruch says in Mishnah and Dalet, means half cooked. There's a sheet that it means even a third cooked, but the Shulchan Aruch says a half cooked. So the second sheet of the Shulchan Aruch says, as long as it's half cooked, meaning it's not ready to serve at all. The most people would not be happy with this at all. It's almost only 50% done. It's got a long ways to go. But once it's 50% cooked, at that point, when Shabbos starts, at that point you can leave it on an uncovered flame. You can leave it on the stovetop, or in this case in the crock pot, whatever, without any covering, without a blech, without a foil, without whatever it is, because this shita is being somich on that. At that point already, people will be more in control of themselves. Because, like as I said before, first of all, it's half cooked. So worse comes to worse, you can eat it. It won't be geshmak, and the beans are going to be, you know, pretty hard and whatever. But no, you can eat it. It's not. It's cool. It's roy. At least, you know, b'shat, you know, up here the chak. It's not it's not inedible. It's just not. It's well undercooked. But that's number one. So they're not. But it could be served. And besides which, once it's half cooked already, they're not as worried that the other half it'll get there on its own. So according to the second sheet, and this is the sheet in the Gemara called the sheet of Chananya. Chananya, the Tana was called Chananya. Chananya holds as long as it's only cooked k'maychel ben drusai, then you're allowed to leave it on an open flame, and we're not worried you're going to stoke the coals. We're not Chazal weren't afraid. These are two sheets in the Mechaber. The Ramah says. That's the minig. The minig is like the second shita. So that's what the Ramah says. The minig is like the second shita. That as long as it's Meichel Ben Drusai, it could be left on an open flame. That's what it says in the Ramah. Now, what are the poskin abba machra? What does the Mishnah Berurah say? So, that's not such. In Laniyah's Daiti, that's not a simple question to answer. Why? Because if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Rishon Gimel here on Sif Aleph, in the Bir Halacha, he discusses a case where you put up your food to cook before Shabbos, and plenty of time so that when Shabbos was going to be already mitzdami varalo, no problem. It's going to be at the stage where everyone agrees you don't need a blech, and then the last minute you get some unexpected company. Last minute meaning shortly before Shabbos starts, before Shabbos, but much closer to Shabbos. You find out that you're not having five people at the Shabbos table, you're having 15 people at the Shabbos table, or whatever it is. And the tafsa you put up is not going to do it. It's not going to go around for 15 people. So you say, okay, start peeling some potatoes and, you know, get some more put more meat, potatoes, more into the tafsa. Let's think about, like the Friday night, a Friday night tafsa. Let's just make it simple. Friday tafsa, so you need to put up more to cook because you don't have enough for the company. So now what do you do? You were planning on leaving on an open flame because it was already going to be all fully cooked. Now it's not going to be fully cooked at all. It'll be maybe half. Let's talk about the case. It'll be half cooked before Shabbos, but not fully cooked. So the Bir Halacha says that, says like this. He said, when he talks about what to do in this case, he says, Mikal Malkum Ein Banu Koach Limchos V'Makilim. We can't stop anyone who wants to be mekel and say that as long as it's half cooked, I'm good. I'm not covering the flame. Because that's shekvar nagu kayeshomer. The Ramah says it. The minig is like the shomer. That's how people know it. So if that's the minig Yisrael, we can't protest. However,
if
if it ends that it got late, kagon shemo orchem kod b'shkiyas hacham, a guest came late in the day and you had to make more food, he says you could, then you could leave it on the flame as long as it's rak kechatzi bishel sagi. You could leave it there as long as half cooked. In that case, you could be mekel. But otherwise, but that's only this shas hadchak, where guests came in at the last minute, or whatever, things got late in your day, you weren't planning on this, and it got late, and for whatever reason, you're unable to cover the flame, or it's not convenient to cover the flame, so you could be mekel natu. But lechatchil, he says, it should be fully cooked before Shabbos, and take take it off the flame before Shabbos, because you know in those days it was sitting on the coals mamish. So when even if you had to pick it up from the coals, it was a shaila of that alone could cause the coals to move. And so the Mishnah says the best thing is cook it all before Shabbos and take it off, and just take it off and wrap it up in a way that you're not violating Katmana, which is another part of the topic Beisham will get to. Just wrap it up and keep it hot, but get it off the coals. That's what you should lechatchila. If you're late or you have late guests, so as long as it's half cooked, okay. So it certainly sounds like from this Sefer Halacha that he is not wholeheartedly endorsing the sheet of the Ramah, and he's saying better to be machmir like the first sheet that's got to be fully cooked and mitznamik v'ralo. But later at the end of all these halachas, there are a number of simanim about these halachas. At the end, in Siman Reish Nun Tes, at the very end, the Mishnah Berurah has a summary of all the halachas of Shia, Hatmana, Bekitzer, in summary, at the end of Rishon Test. And in the summary, when he talks about this din, about what you have to do in order to leave the food on an uncovered flame, he says, L'fichach, im nispashlu k'machal ben Drusai mibujom, if it was cooked like Machal ben Drusai on Friday, which he explains, hainu k'chatzi bishulo, half cooked, some say third, mutter lahashosen afal pish ain't a tana garfal katam. It's mutter to leave it on an open flame. So here when he's summarizing the bottom line, it says, you know, if you so much detail here and you think you got lost some of the details. Okay, let's summarize everything before we go on. And before we leave this topic, let's summarize. And in the summary he says they'll cool it to kashita. He says it just has to be half cooked and maybe even a third cooked, and then you can leave it on an open flame. So what happened to what the Bir Lacho that said that you should be machmir unless guests come? So I don't know fully how to answer this question, but it's hard to say that the Mishnah Berurah is taking a hard line chromatic position there, because when he shamas up the halacha, he doesn't even tell you that there's two shitas. He doesn't even tell you that there's a shita that's more machmir. He just says over the kula to kashita. Okay, so that's So we'll leave the Mishnah Berurah as a question mark. Is he being mekel or machmer? But the Chazon Ish mefurish is mekel, because part of what they're dealing with, obviously, we're dealing with the Rishonim. Are the Rishonim mekel or machmer? So it's interesting. So you learn. It's very interesting to learn this couple of blad at the beginning of third parak of Shabbos. The Gemara itself brings this Amor was machmer and this Amor was mekel. This Amor was machmer. It's so interesting in the Gemara how they talk about it. They tell you the practice of different Amorim, you know, who said you could be mekel without covering the flame. This one said you can't. And then the Rishonim discuss, well, so what's the bottom line? So Rashi says Lakula, Tosis says Lakula. Then if you look at the Rush uses a Lushan, and this is the key Lushan. The Rush says that here the Bir Lacha brings it down here. He says Mibnesha Yisrael Adukim b'mitzvahs Onik Shabbos, because Klal Yisrael is very into Onik Shabbos. They're Adukim, means they're very connected, very well connected to the mitzvah. B'vaday lo yishmu lanu, they're not going to listen to us if we tell them they got to get rid. You got to get rid of those coals. You got to extinguish the coals or spread air. They're not going to listen. I can't hanachlam. So just leave it. Leave it. So let them be somech on Chananya. So on the surface, you might say that, oh, it sounds like it's really the Rush is not endorsing. He's really, he doesn't really believe it should be mekel. He's just saying, you know, we can't fight them. It's the Onik Shabbos. They're not going to listen. Just let them be mekel. That's how you might learn it. So the Chazon Ish makes a point that it's not what the Rush means. It's not what he means. What he doesn't mean that really meikar adin is lachumra. But what are you going to do? Like, no one's listening. But they're not going to listen, so just forget it. Let's be someone to go. It really should be, the din should be lemachmer. He says, no, that's not what he means. The Rush of Vada means that the din is lekula. The ikur din is lekula. Elamai, since the Chachamim and the Mishnah are machmer, so no, it would be nice to be machmer. Like in many things, we're machmer, even though the ikur din is lekula. It would be nice to be machmer. On that, the Rush says, you know, but forget it. No, Bnei Yisrael Adukim, covered Shabbonik Shabbos, they're not going to listen, so let's just leave it on the Ikar Adin. Not leave it, let's be Mekel Kenega the Ikar Adin, but leave it on the Ikar. The Ikar Adin is to be Mekel. Elamai, it would be nice to be Machmer, says the Rosh. It would be nice, but you better find somewhere else to be Machmer, because it's going to be a losing battle. They're not going to listen to you. You're just going to lose favor in the eyes of your Balabatim. Forget about it. Don't be Machmer. So let them be Somich on the Din. That's how the Chazon Ish learns Pshat. And therefore he says that it's not wrong to be Mekel. That is the Din. It might have been nice to be Machmer, but the Rosh says, forget it. Don't be Machmer. So the Chazon Ish learns Pshat Mamish Halacha. And that is really the Minug to be Mekel. Once it's Michael Ben Josai. Now, like there must is in the Midrash. So, bottom line. So first, let me explain this. The best thing, really, really, is always that your chant or whatever should be fully cooked before Shabbos. It's always better. I think we might have mentioned this back when we did Bishul. It's always better anyway to be fully cooked. Why? Because if it's not fully cooked, you're dealing with a time bomb. Meaning to say, you potentially could be over Isser Bishul by making a wrong move. Let's say your challah is not fully cooked, and you were taking another pot off, and you accidentally knocked the cover of the challah, and it got half off or totally off, and it's not fully cooked. It's absolutely usser min haTorah to put the cover back on, right? Or even to adjust it. The cover got knocked off a little, so it's partially open. Because if you put the cover back, you're enhancing the cooking. If it's not fully cooked yet, it's going to cook better if you fully cover it now. That's an Isser Deraisa, not of Chitu, not of Havara, but of Bishul. Or if let's say by mistake somebody picked up the pot, they thought it was the soup, and they picked it up and said, oh, this is a chant, absolutely awesome Deraisa to put it back on the blech, or if it's not fully cooked, awesome in Atara, because it's not fully cooked. Once it's fully cooked, then you can't be over Bishul on Shabbos. It's already Mavushal. Even if it's getting better. Even if it's Mitzdami for Yafel, it's still getting better, but as long as it's fully cooked, ready to serve, there's no Isser Bishul. So if the cover gets knocked off, you're allowed to put it back. So it's always better to be fully cooked before Shabbos. But if you didn't, or if you're running behind, or whatever you didn't, so if it's not fully cooked, or even if it's fully cooked but it's still getting better, it's best to use a blech. It's best to line your crockpot. It's best to follow the Chumrat HaGeshita. But technically, lahalacha, if you don't, as long as it's half cooked, you cannot be criticized. As long as it's half cooked, and even if you put it on an uncovered flame or an unlined crock pot, you will not be in the violation of the halacha. Because the Ikar Hadin is like that Kula Dikashita. Okay, Blinad, we'll pick up, maybe we'll just review this, next time, and there's a lot more, we'll move on from here.